Blog Talk Radio.
Because she goes out and she gets the best people. I don't know how she does it.
And this is something that she just, you know, offered to do. And she's been doing it now for about 3 months. And I'm telling you, she has gotten the greatest people. So, you know, I just have to give her all the props and all the kudos to her. So, wow. And then, I'm, you know, on your website and all the beautiful things that you're doing. And so I just want to, you know, and then the motivation, you know, says you're a motivational speaker and definitely a powerhouse in all the resources. You also are a radio show host, and I suspect you also do a TV show as well.
Well, for 17 years, I did a television show with Comcast Cable. And, you know, over the years, different things happen, different managements come in. But now I'm doing two radio shows. I do a radio show with my husband, Elder Larry Bennett. And we do a once-a-week live talk show on KJBNradio.com. And we have a wonderful time, you know, being a husband and wife duo. We have gained a lot of followers because, you know, we talk about different things that's going on locally, but also things that are going on around the world. So we really enjoy doing that together. And then I also have a blog talk radio that will be starting back in May. I've done it for a little over a year, but my schedule started getting so busy with me traveling that I had to kind of put it on hiatus for a while. But I have some good things that I'm working on.
Well, you have some, you know, you've done a lot of great things. So let's just, you know, start with how your life unfolded, because we have the show is an hour. I know it says in a half hour in the introduction, but it is an hour show, so I'm not sure how long you can stay. But I would just love to know how you got started in this, you know, your awesome career. You know, what did it take, you know, being a strong black woman? You know, what hurdles did you have to overcome? And then, you know, of course, to, you know, offer any suggestions. We have people on the show who are also radio show hosts as well. Some just starting out to host their own radio shows, though maybe it could be something they wanted to do for a long time. And, you know, just want to hear from some, and then being an entrepreneur, having your own businesses, you know, just how do you keep your head above water? You said you're married. Would like to know how to keep balance with, you know, marriage, work, career, entrepreneurship, ministry. How in the world? Give us some of your secrets to success. So if you could start with maybe, you know, just kind of introducing us to Arnessa Staten Bennett, how you got started, what it was like growing up, you know, as much as you can, to how you got to be where you are today.
Okay, well, let me kind of tell you my story. At an early age, I was married. I married really early. I think I was about 20. And, you know, that's pretty early to get married. But when I look over my life, I think everything was divinely orchestrated. I got married about a year later. We found out that we were pregnant with my first child. And while being pregnant, I found out that I had cancer. And that was one of those things where you really find out who you are and whose you are. I had always gone to church, but it got to a point where I wasn't just going to church. I really had to depend on Christ and really have a true relationship with him. Because being pregnant for the first time, finding out that I had cancer, it was something where I had to be focused and I had to know that everything was going to be all right, and even at an early age. So even back then, all my family, friends, they always said, well, you know, you've always been so motivated. So I had to start motivating myself. So I was able to have my son, and then after I had him, you know, I went through treatment. I got rid of the cancer. And from that point on, I just kind of looked at life a lot different than what I had looked at it before. I felt that if God spared my life, I was here for a reason. So I had to do a lot of soul searching to decide, okay, God, what is my purpose? You know, why did you spare me? You know, there were other people at that same time that had found out they had cancer, some of them prevailed and some of them end up dying. So I had to look at my life and say, okay, you kept me here for a reason. And then even my son was in great health. So I looked at life where from this point forward, I got to really tune in to my Holy Spirit and what I'm supposed to be doing in life. As my profession at that time, I was in retail management. One of the things I had to do was to go and conduct presentations on fashion and, you know, how to coordinate different outfits. But while I was talking with the ladies, I would put some lifestyle tips in and some motivational tips. So I kept getting requests to come and speak to different groups. And I was saying, you know, you want me to speak about clothing again? You know, just so much you can say about clothing. They said, no, we want you to come back and motivate us. You really motivated us on different things. And, you know, it's not just the clothes, but it's the person. And, you know, what's happening inside radiates outside. And so we want you to come and talk to us. So people started, you know, asking me to speak, and they were paying me a fee to come and speak. And this was back in, the middle 80s, 1986, 87. So it just kind of snowballed into a career. So I went from retail, I went to corporate training, and it led to me doing a TV show. It led to me speaking, you know, all over the United States. So it's like everything was divinely orchestrated. You know, now coming back to present time, you know, I'm 51 years old. When I turned 50, I said from this point forward, my main focus truly is going to be motivating and inspiring women. My thing is women and teenage women, because as I travel, I see so many women who they don't know the gift that they have. They don't know their worth. Is when I see some of the things that women allow themselves to become a part of and do, I know that my job is to, you know, motivate them, because sometimes if you don't come from a family that are motivators, one thing I can say about my family, they nurtured the motivation and the inspiration in our family. But I had to realize that everybody's family is not like that. So that's where I come in. I come in to, you know, motivate you and be like a cheerleader to let you know there's greatness in you and you can have the type of life you want. But it's a mindset that you have to, you know, put yourself in. And sometimes it means, you know, kind of straying away from some of the people that maybe have a negative environment. You have to kind of, you know, get away from that. So now I spend my life, you know, motivating people. I go to different workshops, seminars, conferences, retreats, and I'm not a preacher, you know, because a lot of people say, well, are you a preacher? I said, no, I'm not preaching, but I'm motivating, and I'm giving a good word while I'm motivating you.
Yeah, you know, that's good. That's good right there, because the people need to be reminded of that. And a lot of preachers are motivators, even down to being motivational speakers.
Mm-hmm.
You take somebody like Jamal Bryant, or, you know, Bishop Jakes, or for that matter, Joyce Myers. Many of them work in both markets, straight 100% in ministry, and also they have very powerful dynamic. Motivate. They're in the motivational speaking market business as well.
Right.
Especially Bishop T.D. Jakes. I mean, when he came out with that 10 something, he had the 10 rules of on the job when people hate you or something. I can't think of exactly the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
But had something like that out a while back, and it basically swept the nation.
Right. I think it maximized the moment or something to that effect.
He had that, but then he had that. There was a list of things, 10 things to recognize that you know, the person was a hater or something like that.
Oh.
Somebody will type it in the room for me. 10 ways to overcome a negative person, something like that.
Right. And these are issues that, like I said, my specialty is geared. I speak to men and women, but my specialty is toward, you know, working with women. And they have to realize, I think sometimes we as women, we just think everybody is going to like us and accept us because, you know, we have a good heart. But you will find out, especially when you're in corporate, it's not like that. You know, it's like there. A lot of those women and men are in the mindset of, you know, I'm going to conquer. Who's ever in my way, you're just going to get run over. And I think a lot of times we as women are not prepared when we go into corporate.
Yeah, you know what? And that's so true. And a lot of times, you know, people come out of college and other kinds of training like that type settings, and they go into the workplace, and basically they get very frustrated over time because they see that, you know, like you said, people don't always treat you the way you expect them to treat you or even the way you're willing to treat them. And then a lot of times they get disillusioned. And they feel like a failure, or they may feel like, you know, they've wasted somehow some part of their life when all they really needed was to kind of understand the environment and the culture into which they're going into. And
hey,
so I could see your – go ahead.
I'm just saying exactly. There's one young lady that I'm working with. I've been working with her for several years. She's from Arkansas. She got a degree. You know, she wanted to go to New York, you know, and to make the big money. Okay, she went to New York, and she's making wonderful money, but she didn't realize all the office politics. She's looking at, I'm smart, I have my degree, I'm going to do this job, you know, and they offer me this job, and I'm excellent at this job. Yes, she's excellent at her job, but then now she's dealing with personalities, people not liking you, people not accepting you. You know, you're a woman that's in a field that has normally had white males, you know. So she said, Arnessa, you know, I just don't understand. I finally got my ideal job. I'm making the money I want to make. But it's all this other craziness that I'm working with. And, you know, you need – that's why a lot of people, they like, oh, I don't need a coach. It's very important to have a coach. If you're in career, if you're athlete, if you're in entertainment. But I think sometimes people, they just don't realize the importance because you need someone, especially, you know, when you're at the point of your career where you are really, you know, striving for excellence. You need that person to help you with your accountability, to keep you focused, to keep you driven, because it's so easy to get off track.
Oh, yes, it is. Like you said, you can sometimes get caught up in day-to-day what you're doing. Well, we have a couple of comments, you know, from the chat room, you having your own Blog Talk Radio show, so you know exactly how that works. But Mr. Jimton says that you are amazing, and he absolutely loves your voice. Now, sometimes you can't tell. I don't know if it's really a man or a female because Jimton, that name I can't distinguish. So they will correct me, I'm sure, in the chat room very soon. And it says that it draws you in. Your voice draws you in. So they wanted to know, do you also write? And
well,
this caller is from the coast of Australia.
Oh, wonderful.
The West.
I have so many people have been asking me to put some publications out. That is something that I'm working toward. I have a lot of material from different workshops that I conduct, but that is something that I'm working on because I keep getting requests to write. And so I think what I may need is a ghostwriter to just kind of, because I'm so focused on speaking and you know, doing the workshops that I just, for me to just sit down and write, that's just not one of my strong points, but I am working on a publication. And thank you about the voice because this morning I woke up with, as we say in the South, a frog in my throat. So I wasn't sure how I was coming across on the radio. But thank you.
Well, you're coming across super fantastic because as a motivational speaker, you see, you're still motivating, and that is so wonderful because I'm sure it will motivate a lot of people just to hear your story, to hear about, you know, what happened to you as a very young woman when you first got married, having your first child to go through just to even hear. And back then it was just like the C word that nobody mentioned.
Oh, my goodness, because my son was born in 1981. And mm-hmm. back then, you know, when you were talking about cancer, it was like, oh, you know, you're going to die. My cousin died, my aunt died. So I even back then, I started using some different principles that I hadn't even, you know, heard of back then. I had to be very careful about the people that I even told I had cancer because I wanted to keep it where it was just family, and I knew that they would pray for me. I knew that we would keep positive affirmations coming toward me, because sometimes I think we, as women, I think we kind of talk too much about certain things, and you got to be careful who you let know things that are going on in your life, because everybody can't handle the truth. That was a scene from a movie, but it's so true. Some people cannot handle the truth,
and some people don't even need the truth because they don't have any thing to say that is going to be positive about it.
Right.
And when you're in a situation where you're always, whenever you're trying to move forward, negativity will come and hold you back.
Yes, it will.
So when you try to move forward in your job, in your health, in career changes, in life changes, anything, anytime you're trying to move forward, it's going to be very hard. I see people who are drug addicted, trying to get off drugs. Stone cold junkies, heroin addicts, meth, amphetamine, you name it. I've seen them come straight off of drugs, no real AA, no real NA, but just with a positive person in their life.
Right, in a mindset. Because my grandfather,
mm-hmm.
back in the day, he had become an alcoholic. And he decided that he was going to stop. And we were like,
mm-hmm.
how can you go from how, I mean, he would be one of those people where, I mean, he would just really get drunk. And I was young, and he said, you know, one day, you know, he had always been in the church, but he just had this one little area where that demon was really strong. But he decided that he was going to stop drinking. And he had his mind set, and he stopped. And until the day he died, he didn't drink anymore. So I know it can be done, but you have to be willing to have that mindset and just say, this is what's going to happen, and nothing else is going to change my mindset.
Yes, that's a great point. So what is one of your chief tools that you use to motivate people in terms of, and like there's different groups of people to motivate, because you have the people who are in a situation where they feel as though they're at the bottom of a pit. Then you have individuals that maybe they're in the middle of the pit, and then you have people who feel that they're totally out of the pit. Let me give you an example. What if you had to go and to motivate a group of women like yourself? You were going to some type of retreat or a conference. Is it easier or more difficult to motivate a group of women like that? Or what about a group of women that, let's just say, they're just getting out of a traumatic situation, maybe homeless, maybe just getting off the welfare system, but been there for 2, 3, 4, 5 years?
One of the tools that I've used are real-life stories. A lot of times I think we feel, when something happens to us, that we're the only one that's happened to. And that's not true. But I think when you can tell true stories of things that have happened to people and they persevered, it gives you hope. It gives you, you know, something inside opens up and says, well, if they can do it, you know, I can do it too. And also, I found out And I didn't realize I was funny, but a lot of ladies say, Arnissa, you're funny with some of the things you say. And, you know, I have this, everyone that I meet, they say, oh, my goodness, you have this 1,000-watt smile. So between my smile, the stories that I tell, and my realness, people just, they just are attracted to me, and they just, they really start thinking. Because one of my main things is to draw you in and to get you thinking and let you know that you're not alone. This has happened to other people, and they persevered, so can you.
Okay. Now, a couple of people want to know your Blog Talk Radio. So give us the URL for your Blog Talk Radio show, and we'll put that right in the chat room so people can connect with you. And everything, Jen Tim, is on her website, and so we'll give you her website address as well, which is just her name, .com. So it's
right.
Arnessa.com, ArnessaA.com.
Right.
And on her site, you can find so many awesome, awesome things. I mean, the website is absolutely informative. You can even down to, now, is this a list of your favorite things? Let me see. Or is that song?
Well,
remember this? I'm slightly older than you, so I remember a few songs that we used to sing back in the day. But there was a song, These Are a Few of My Favorite Things.
Right. Well, this is what, when I go to different conferences or when I go and speak, people always, you know, even when you get in your honorarium, they want to bless you with something. And so here lately I've been asked, what are some of the things that you like? So that's something that I got to work on. I just have to sit down and write down some of the things that I like.
Awesome.
I do like shoes and purses, you know, so they want to know what kind of purse do you like? So I just added that page, and so I got to sit down and write some things that I like. And I'm a girly girl, so, you know, I like the purses and the shoes and, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I'm just going to have to sit down and just kind of write some stuff out for them.
Awesome. So, yes, absolutely. If you go on her site, you will absolutely see her speaking topics. And so the radio show, give us that link. Let's see the blog. Let me see. I can actually click.
It's Arnessa Bennett Blog Talk Radio. If they go to the Blog Talk Radio site, all they have to do even better than that, they could just go to my website, and it's a link, and it takes you right to it.
Yes, it does. I'm on there right now. There is a link on her website, Arnessa, ArnessaA.com. And if you go there, you will see a link. It's about the fourth, fifth link down. And it says the Arnessa Bennett Blog Talk Radio Show. You click there, and there you have it. You can tune in, and you can listen to archived shows, future shows. Awesome. Okay, wonderful. Beautiful site. And so motivating people. So what are some of the biggest challenges that you have to face as a motivational speaker, a wife, a mother, a friend, a sibling? You said you had things in a family. Then you have your own business to run. Then you have your ministry. You have your own health. And how do you do all of that? And, you know, what are some of the challenges, as you would say, or whatever?
One of the challenges is my husband is a minister. So, of course, that's number one. Me being his helpmeet is number one. So, and then I also have my business. But what we try to do is we have calendars where I know things that are going on in the church. So I try not to schedule too many things that conflict with big events. Because our church, Full Council Christian Fellowship, in North Little Rock, Arkansas, we are a church that we always have different things going on, you know, for our congregation. So I make sure that nothing is scheduled. And our bishop is Bishop Silas Johnson and Lady Jennifer Johnson. there are senior pastors, and they are just very innovative when it comes to things for the children, for the married couples, for the singles. I mean, we always have something going on, but I'm able to really kind of schedule my stuff where there are not big events going on in the church. So it works out. And my husband and I, one of his favorite words are, we're empty nesters. So we are really free to travel and do things, you know, when we don't have other stuff going on. So everything is working out. We work hard for the ministry. I work hard in my business. But then we know how to have fun, too.
Okay, so what are wonderful. So challenges you time wise. How is it? You know, how do you? What's your secret to getting everything done? Organizing your time or keeping your time management under? I know you said you have the calendars.
Right.
And you try not to. So do you also have an assistant or a secretary or someone who helps you keep all of that together?
I do have someone that assists me, but I guess I'm kind of old school and one of those people where I have someone to assist me, but I still, especially with me working, you know, aside by my husband, I have my iPhone, but then I also have a calendar where everything is written because I'm one of those kind of people that if something goes crazy with that phone, which has all my dates and times, I want to have something on paper as a backup because I've had a couple of times when my computer has frozen or I can't get my information. So I still rely on that day planner.
Awesome. And so that's really going to help because we have a couple of speakers on the line, and then I know there are some speakers who are going to also tune back in to listen to the archive, and so I'm asking some of these questions to also help and assist them as they, you know, get on their journeys. Now, is this your full-time, do you work fully for yourself, self-employed, or do you still have to go to a 9-to-5, so to speak, and
no,
then do this?
This is how I'm able to eat and shop.
I know that's right. Two important things here, shop and eat.
I do this
shop,
full
eat,
time,
battle,
so
right?
This is my career. This is what I depend on to have my cash flow going.
How did you make that happen? So let's go back to when you did have to work for someone, if ever. So tell us if you did ever have to work for someone,
what that was.
I know you said you were doing retail.
I think up until the last maybe 8 years, I worked for someone else. I was in corporate training, and then I did my stuff on the side. But it got to the point where my business really started going where I was able to let go of the 9-to-5 and do strictly the speaking because I try to have it where I do one-on-one coaching, I do presentations to groups, but then I also do the lifestyle coaching, you know, for small groups. So I usually have my schedule where something is always going on. If I'm not doing the one-on-one coaching, I'm doing the presentations out. And I'm telling you, my website has really helped me. The website, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter. These different things have really helped.
Okay, and definitely, you know, I know you probably are very busy as well. So if you, you know, can't stay, please let me know. We understand. We're so glad to have
you. I have booked for an hour, so if someone else wants to come on, that's fine, but I'll stay on the line.
I usually only schedule one person. I do know some where people are able to do two people. I just haven't gotten there yet. I have a lot of questions just for the one person because, you know, I've been blessed enough to have people that I feel are very phenomenal, fantastic, amazing people with interesting, very, very, very interesting lives. And so you have about at least 10 parts of your life that could make a show. I mean, from, you know, getting married, you know, very young. And now how long were you in that marriage?
Well, in that marriage, we were married close to 8 years because we were both young. Mm-hmm. And one thing I found out, you know, we live and we learn. I used to always hear when I was younger, older people saying, you know, you have to be equally yoked. And I didn't quite understand that. But then as I, you know, became older and started experiencing life, because one thing I could say, once you have experienced having cancer and going through that, it's going to either make you or break you. And it really made me, and it made me look at life a lot different. And it was like, okay, if God brought me through this, I need to be worthy of this, and I need to live the rest of my life in a certain way. And you can decide, you know, that you're going to live your life for the Lord, but your counterpart may not have that same idea. And it just got to the point where our being equally yoked was not. I was leaning toward one direction, and he was leaning toward another direction. And I was single for a long time. And I think that's one of the reasons why I was able to do the 9-to-5 and do the different jobs on the side, the speaking engagements, because I had a son that I wanted to raise, and I wanted to give him the best life possible. So it all worked out.
And, you know, now that's, you know, that was interesting that you mentioned that, because I was thinking of that earlier. How easy is it to build a business, especially a motivational speaking business, and be married?
It's, you know, a lot of people, I get a lot of calls and a lot of people on Facebook, you know, oh, I want to be a motivational speaker, you know, what do I need to do? It's not like you can just wake up one day and decide, well, I'm going to be a motivational speaker, and because you got to build on, you know, speaking, and then you got to, the people that you speak to, you always let them know that you're open to speak to other groups. It's an ongoing thing. It took me years to get to this point where people know me, they know my reputation, they know my philosophy, and it has built up to this. It didn't just happen overnight.
Okay. See, that's really, really good to know, because I've seen where that, yes, people want to get into the business and they don't always know what it takes to get there. And so it sounds like they may want to keep their day job,
right,
and start, like you said, wherever you go, let people know that you are available for speaking, get those speaking engagements. And so while we're on that subject, I mean, even for myself and, like I said, others that I know are listening, they do want to be motivational speakers. They do want to work for themselves. They do have that gift. What would you say would be the point at when a motivator, because I know you have to do so many free engagements. And it's not to say that you won't ever do free ones again, because everybody does pro bono work, even doctors.
Right.
And they are highly paid, and so do lawyers and actors and entertainers and everyone. So it's not that you wouldn't ever do free work, but in terms of when you're first starting out, everybody has to work for free for the most part.
But this,
unless you really handle the working for free.
Because this is the way I look at it. If I come and speak to your group, I have to do my makeup, got to do my hair, got to do my outfit, you know, got to get there. And so when people tell me, oh, we want you to come and speak, but we don't have a budget, I say, okay, but you do have businesses in your community that are willing to donate. So you can go to a business. You can say, you know, we are a nonprofit. If you're a nonprofit, or we're a community organization, and we're putting on an event, we want to know if you would donate a gift bag or a gift basket, or if you would donate an outfit, or if you would donate some shoes. And then what I could do while I'm in your city, because usually if I go to a city, I try to stay an extra day. I can go to that particular store. With a, you know, sometimes they don't do a gift basket, they'll do a gift certificate. I can go to that store, and if it's shoes or if it's clothes or if it's makeup, and I can get the product. So even though your organization does not have money, they have people in that group that can go and get the different gift certificates or gifts. So even though you don't have money, you have to be creative enough to still have that person that's going to work on presenting either by a keynote or a workshop. When they leave your organization, they are leaving with something. Because if you keep doing it just for free, people will not, we as a people tend to think, if we're getting you for free, maybe, you know, you're not that good. But if they have to do some type of work to get you by getting the gift certificates, and I understand a lot of organizations don't have a budget to, you know, pay for someone to come in, but there are other creative ways that you can still do something for that speaker that's coming in.
That's good. Because, you know, I've often wondered about that, and, you know, and this is the first time I've gotten the answer that I got, that we just got. So I so appreciate you for taking the time to explain how that can work, because that really, really helped me a lot. And I've spoken to a lot of motivational speakers, believe, over the past 7-8 years. And I've talked to a lot of people, and you have absolutely been the first to say what you just said in terms of when a person doesn't have a budget, which is totally understandable. But here's a way to get the, because they want to feel good about compensating you as well.
Right.
That much I know whenever I have an event and I have a speaker that I can't pay, you know, the first thing you want to know, you want to do something. So what I've tried to do is bring in people that have some kind of product,
mm-hmm.
whether it be CD or book,
mm-hmm.
or it could be Mary Kay. They could be a Mary Kay. And
right.
By the way, I believe fellow artist distributor, so that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I would something, and I would say, okay, you're going to get a table. And, you know, to promote your products and sell your products or services. Or they could be a service person.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they do coaching. Maybe they do financial planning. Maybe mm-hmm. they are a health and whatever. So I do try to do that. So I think that's a great point. But I didn't think about going out to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And for businesses to, even though I do know to do that, I just didn't think to do it with this particular incident. So
right.
I so appreciate you for that, lady. In my opinion, that right there stands you like a head above a lot of people.
It's all about being creative, because when I go to a group, you know, my background, I think if I had chosen another career, it probably would have been marketing or public relations, because I'm always trying to be creative about ways to do things that most people don't do it that way. You know, I can always come up with something a little different. But it has really helped me, because, you know, I've gotten purses, I've gotten shoes, I've gotten jewelry, I've gotten makeup, you know, just all kinds
what?
Of that I would normally have to pay for, you know, when
what?
I get to the honorarium, you know, so scarves.
That's awesome.
I mean, just all kind of things that I like. And I think that's one of the reasons why people kept saying, well, what kind of things do you like? So I said, well, on my website, I'm going to kind of give y'all an idea of things that I like. So they'll know where to go. And then, you know, I like I do a lot of, I'm a tea person. I do teas and coffees, you know. So it's been people who have like a tea and coffee company, and where you could go and get so much tea or so much coffee. So it's, you know, once you decide what you like, you know, you can tell people, well, these are some of the things that I like. So then they would know where to go and ask people, you know, for donations.
I love it. I think this, I think, well, because, I mean, that is really, really, really cool. And I know that companies definitely will support, a lot of companies will support just the fact that they're going to be able to show their business off to,
right,
you know, more people. And that, so it's saving them advertising dollars, and it's an intimate group that they wouldn't normally get a chance to talk to. So
right,
it's a group
they,
that...
Mm-hmm. They can write the value off on their taxes as a donation.
Absolutely.
They can, a lot of people, even if you're not a 501c3, the company can always write it off as their advertising, in their advertising budget, even if you're not a 501c3.
So what's the favorite, what do you like most about your life right now in terms of what you're doing, your businesses, your speaking, being an entrepreneur? What's your real joy and passion in terms of every day waking up?
My joy and passion is that I'm finally with a man that I'm equally yoked. We both have God at the very top of our life. It's all about him.
Wow.
And when you have someone who loves God like you love God,
and
you know, we pray.
Go ahead. I can't wait. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, because when I was dating, my mental prerequisite was the man has to be able to pray. So if I would go to a lunch date with someone, and we order the food, and then the food comes, one of the things I didn't want to have to ask him to bless the food.
Okay.
So if I went on a date and they didn't bless the food without me asking them, or if they could not bless the food, there wasn't a second date, because I kept running into men that couldn't bless the food. I'm like, if you can't bless this food, how you gonna bless me?
Ooh, girl, that's good right there.
Because I need a man who's gonna pray for me. If something's wrong, if I don't feel good, if it's something going on in my career, in my life, I need somebody that's going to touch and agree and pray and know how to pray. So if they didn't know how to pray, it wasn't no second date, especially if they couldn't bless the food.
Wow. Wow. That is, you know what, so I'm going to have to use that one in some of my, but I'm going to give you all the credit. Ooh, I just put that on Facebook. I said, Arnessa said, if he can't bless the food, there was no second date. No, that, honey. They need, you know, because these women, yeah, that's powerful. Yeah, how you going to bless me and you can't even bless some string beans? Can't even bless, you know, bless some meatloaf or some shrimp or some red snapper, whatever you desire to eat. My goodness.
Yeah. He couldn't bless the
you
food.
Can't even,
he couldn't bless
he can't even speak life over, you know, Ooh. He can't even speak enemy away from some food. How you gonna speak and protection over my life?
Exactly.
Wow. That, I tell you, that right there ought to get you booked on Oprah if you haven't been on there already.
Oh, that has always been one of my dreams, and maybe I'll be
well,
on the other show, so she's getting ready to end the show. But my thing
is, she needs to get there before she ends. You need to write her and tell her, he can't bless the food, there's no second date. And you need to make that a slogan, send that to her, and get on her show, because that, I love it.
See, it's little stories and little tidbits like that wins me into the heart of the people that I'm talking to, because this is just everyday stuff that I had experienced. Because,
well, you won me. I mean, I'm happily married, and my husband can't pray. I thank God. I've been married 21 years. I thank God for that. But let me tell you, my husband can pray, that's for sure.
Right. And that's
but I'm loving it because there's one thing my husband can do is do well is pray. And the sad, and the funniest thing is I didn't know that going in. My husband and I met in a bar. And so he didn't know I could pray, and I didn't know he could. However, in the back of the, you know how there's like your subconscious is also working, but based on our story, because I was 30, about 31, going on 32 when we met, and he was going on like 30, he was 36, he was 38. So here, you know, but we could just, based on our experiences, in the back, because we both grew up in the church, though we weren't in the church when we met, but it was like, I think subconsciously we knew that in order to get to where we had, where we were that night, based on what we had shared about our past, there had to be a God. Well, you ain't surviving that kind of life and where we grew up and the way we were out there as teenagers and young adults. You ain't grow up like that without God having his hand on you. So even though, but I like this, what you're saying, because I do see a lot of young people and they're always asking me about marriage and relationships and dating. And so this will be something else I can add to my arsenal to tell them. They going to love it. I can see them now just cracking up laughing. Well, and it's not to say that a person who can pray real strong over a meal can love you real good. And I'm not saying that, because we know that some can pray, preach, prophesy, speak in tongues, roll on the floor on the first date. So we do know that. It's not necessarily, we're not saying that if a man can pray, because I know some women will hear that. And the first thing that come their way that can pray, they'll be trying to get them to the altar.
But let me tell you about this prayer that my husband did. Because when we went to that first initial dinner, it was just as friends. We used to go to church together. I had moved out of town. I had come back to town. He saw me. You know, we ended up going to dinner. And it was, I just didn't think he was my type. You know, he was real kind of nerdy, and I just, you know how you just judge a book by the cover, which we shouldn't do. But
I love nerds, but go ahead.
When we got our food, and he reached for my hand, and I didn't have to say nothing. We had all the food. He reached for my hand. He prayed over the food, you know, and I closed my eyes. When I opened my eyes back up and I looked at him, the anointing had come. Because I saw him in a whole different light. And then I had a mental note and a written note of, because I knew I would get married again. And I had a note of, these are the qualities and these are the things that I'm looking for. So I had got it down to like a science. So when I had a conversation with someone, it would be key things that if they said, it would bring me to my list. And while we were talking, it was almost like we started talking. The things he was saying lined up with the things that were on my list and in my mental list. And it was to the point that we were so engrossed, and I knew it was the anointing, because while we were eating and talking, it was like time had almost stood still to us. But then when I finally, like, broke away and looked to my side, I noticed everyone in the restaurant had left. You know, we had been there because we got there about 7-something. Next thing I know, the restaurant was closing. And we had been talking, and it was a full restaurant. But by the time we broke away and looked around, we saw, hey, we're the only ones in here. So I knew from that night that he was the one, because I had other dates or meetings and that never happened. So even when you tell someone about the prayer, it's an anointing that comes to that prayer. Somebody can pray and it won't faze you at all. But then somebody could just say a few words. It could be a simple prayer. But if the anointing is on it, you're going to feel something.
That is so, you know what, that is so awesome what you're saying. And that's what happened when my husband, when I finally did hear him pray, believe it or not, it was like a good 13 years after we were married. But when he prayed, it was like, wow, I was blown away.
Mm-hmm.
I saw, even though we had been married and had, you know, been through a lot and done a lot and seen a lot, I saw him in a whole different light.
Mm-hmm.
That prayer. So, and it was, you know, kind of like by accident. We were happened to be in church on a prayer meeting night, and we used to have a pastor that would just call on different people to pray, not mm-hmm. the standard ministers and people that, you know, normally pray. So mm-hmm. that when they called on him, I thought, oh, boy, I wonder what, you know. I was like, oh, boy, what in the world is about to happen, you know. Oh my! I'm thinking I'm gonna get something like a Jesus wept, you know, or like the one lady said, Jesus wept and Jesus cried, you know. That was but I was like, okay, you know, problem with something, you know, real short and sweet. But I mean, he came out with such an anointed prayer, I had to almost sit back down. Look at God. So I know what you mean about that anointing, and I think that's a good word. And people are in the chat room, they're chatting it up. They want to get a copy of your book. If he doesn't pray, send him home. No, I'm just kidding. But if he can't pray, kick him to. If there's no anointing, I should say.
Right.
If there's ever going to be an anointing on the man's life, it ought to be when he prays.
Yes.
I know that's right. Because the anointing breaks the yoke. And
it,
oh, but anyway,
girl,
so
it does.
They're requesting, yeah, girl, we need some yokes broken. So they're requesting your book. So I guess you better start looking for that ghostwriter really soon.
Yes, real quick.
And what's your book? They said to you, the topic. Let me go back to the chat room. I got out of there for a second. But let's see. If they said you had, ought to have a book entitled, If You Can't Bless the Food, Then There's No Second Date. And that's a little book, you know, on. I know you do relationship seminars anyway, so guess you can add that down to your other list.
Right.
But also in the chat room, Jintin, Jintin is actually a female, absolutely, a hot chick, and she says that she liked the way you said equally yoked.
Mm-hmm.
And where you said it, and that it put a really positive spin on something. And she says, your picture is so beautiful. And if that's what a motivational speaker can look like, she says she's now motivated to pursue being a motivational speaker. So you're having a very, very positive effect on people, even on the phone. So they don't even see you in person. So we can only imagine what it would be like. But you do sound a little bit to me, you put me in the mind of Dolores Presley. I don't know if you know her, but
I know of her. I follow her on Facebook, and, you know, I see her little quotes, and every once in a while, you know, she'll send you to her website, and I have looked at her website. And
well, I was at a
mm-hmm.
where she spoke, so, yeah, but go ahead.
I said, that's a compliment. You know, I take that as a compliment because I have followed her career.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, no, definitely. You put me in the mind of her. And so, and hearing her, having heard her speak and knowing how well she motivates people and knowing, you know, what she does. So we're out of time, so we don't have any time left today, but we're going to certainly pray that you will come back on another day. So we want to go more to definitely come back and do something on relationships for people, you know.
I would love that.
We would love that. I have a lot of women that I would have them tune in that are looking to get married and looking to not make some of the mistakes that some
right.
of us made. Yeah, you know, to avoid those little common mistakes that you don't think about until it's too late.
Right. But
like you're saying,
if you go into it like, and I hate to say this, but if you go into it just like you were going looking for a job, you know, there's certain criteria that you want as a career, and that's almost how you have to do as an equally yoked mate. It's, you don't want somebody that is out in the bars and you're trying to go to the church.
Right.
You have to be on the same page.
Try to find a good fit like you would in a company.
Right.
Finding and making sure they're awesome. Well, that's all we have time for. Thank you so much, Ornessa. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for calling in, being our awesome guest, for sharing your wisdom, your motivation, sharing your story with us. You can go to her website, arnessa.com. That's ArnessaA.com. You can sign up for her mailing list. You can be her friend on Facebook, Ornessa Staten Bennett, and go listen to her show and, you know, just have a great time and stay motivated. Whatever you do, remember that your goals will take you to the destiny of your dream. Ornessa, again, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was a pleasure talking with you.
And I look forward to talking with you again.
Yes, yes. Have a wonderful, powerful day. Thanks to all of those in the chat room. Thanks to those on the switchboard who are tuned in for the entire show. We really, really, really do appreciate you.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.
Hello?